The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with. 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. When I look at my emails, which is not that often, but it's, you know, I do look at them because that's what we do around here without trying to get too drawn into that whole world. And it isn't unusual to get an invitation to open a Facebook account, which I didn't know what Facebook even was, to tell you the truth. So I looked it up on Wikipedia. This is my way of finding things out. You know, it's reliable, I believe. And I wanted to look at it because I've heard some disturbing things about young people and what their attention is turned towards. And so I wanted to understand that for myself and then try and learn how to address that. In other words, to make sense of it for myself. And hopefully maybe be able to relate to somebody that is, 50 years younger than I am. It's a long, long distance there. So, what I found at Wikipedia on Facebook was this. The first part is kind of dry, but that's the way it goes. Facebook is an American online social media and social networking service company. After registering with Facebook, users can create a customized profile revealing information about themselves. Okay, that right away says, why would you want to do that? But anyway. They can post text, photos, and multimedia, which is shared with other users that have agreed to be their friend. And what I'd like to talk about here is the friend on Facebook and the friendship of the Dharma. Because I think it's relevant, and it'd be nice to kind of think about the modern day and its current trends. And the ancient, old pathway of the Buddhas. It's been around for a long time of friendship. There is a difference. So, Facebook receives prominent media coverage, including many controversies. These often include user privacy, political manipulation, psychological effects such as addiction and low self-esteem, and content that some users find objectionable, including fake news, conspiracy theories, and copyright infringement. Okay, so I didn't feel like this was going down any kind of positive pathway. But again, you know, I was out of my element, and I know there's a lot of people that do it, and I know there's another side to this, but this is from Wikipedia. Okay. Also, there was a section in Wikipedia about Facebook called emotional health, and that's really what I was concerned about. You know, what is the emotional health that has been connected with Facebook? So, studies have associated Facebook with feelings of envy, often triggered by vacation and holiday photos. Other triggers include posts by friends about family happiness and images of physical beauty. Such feelings have left people dissatisfied with their own lives. Fair enough. One study discovered that 1 out of 3 people were more dissatisfied with their lives after visiting Facebook, And another study found that college students felt worse about themselves following an increase in time on Facebook. So there you have it. And I and I recognize, too, that there's a reason that a lot of people are paying attention to Facebook and have an account with that. And, well, I want to read just a little bit more. I found an article that was interesting to me about a Facebook user. I assume she's a young woman, it sounds like, because she grew up with the computer. And I think it illustrates a little bit more about why people, or how people are using it. So she's a Facebook user, and she says, I check my phone about 4 times an hour. She says, I carry my phone around with me as if it were an oxygen tank. I went, okay, so that means that she really needs to have that connection to have any kind of sense of life. I mean, that's what... And I thought, well, okay, this is kind of a recipe for the first noble truth. Suffering exists. And this is what I was starting to see develop, was that cause, or that suffering does exist here, as far as I can tell. She goes on, she writes to say, we have allowed social media to make us feel valuable. Facebook and the like encourage compulsive use by offering forms of social approval, likes on Facebook, that are intermittent and unpredictable, as though playing a slot machine that tells you whether or not people love you. She did not mince her ideas about things. Also, the personal information we put on Facebook constantly discloses our needs and desires to tech companies that sift through our selfhood in search of profit opportunities. And this is what a friend is on Facebook. And for me, I don't find there's much connection with my practice in my life. And I do recognize that there's a lot of people that do find that connection, some kind of way of defining who they are in their lives. Now, I want to talk about the friends in the Dharma, and just bring up what the Buddha said about friends or friendship. And what does that mean to us today that we use the internet? We still use it. We don't have to. Maybe we can recognize some of these things for more of what they really are. Good friendship, that's what I want to talk about. The Buddha placed a special emphasis on one's choice of friends, which he saw as having a profound influence on one's individual development. And I think that's where I don't know about Facebook, is that I don't see that it helps anyone develop in a good way or a positive way. And I, you know, that's, like I say, my one slant on that, but I don't see that. Good friendship is essential not only because it benefits us in times of trouble, satisfies our social instincts, and enlarges our sphere of concern from self to others. And that's a Buddhist way, is to not be so concerned with ourself, but to extend that interest to others. It is critical because good friendship plants us in the sense of discretion. And this is a good point, that through our friendship, we learn what good and bad are. We learn right and wrong because of the feedback we get from each other. And within that Buddhist context, what happens is we learn to develop things that we may not have necessarily been able to do without each other. For instance, if you hear somebody you know, assuming that we're practicing Buddhism, but if you hear somebody with harsh speech that's hurting others' feelings, then the feedback you can get from other people that are your friends can be invaluable to learn how to work with that. I'm not saying nobody, nobody is perfect in that light, but we can work with the situation because we have good feedback. And that's how we can develop our good qualities, and we can become good friends to other people. And so I came up with some examples that are what I think of as good qualities of a friendship of those who practice the Buddha Dharma. And the good qualities I want to talk about is faith in the Dharma. And the second one is virtuous behavior. And then the third is generosity. And then the last one is wise discernment. And I have stories to tell, so here we go. Faith. So faith in the Dharma. This is a story that happened here at the Abbey, and I don't know how many years ago it was, but one of our monks had to go to the ER. She was in extreme pain, so much so that her jaw was clenched so tight that her whole jaw was kind of white. She was in extreme pain. So she was in ER waiting for them to determine what was going on with her, trying to figure out what to do, what was the next step. In the middle of all that, here she is. She starts reciting the litany of the Great Compassionate One. You know, it was just something that she was able to do, and she did it in the midst of a really difficult situation. And for me, I've never forgotten that. I feel like she really had the faith, and she demonstrated it not with that kind of thinking, I'm going to teach anybody or I'm going to be a friend to anybody or any of that kind of thing, but it was because of her own practice that it came out and helped her out and probably helped others out in the ER room. But I've never forgotten that because I thought, what a different kind of thing to do. One that I would hope that some of us would be have the good karma to do something like that in a difficult situation. But I find that a good example of what can be done, the potential of what we can do by our Buddhist training. Didn't River Master Jiyu say something like, we recite our scriptures over and over and over again, every single day, the same ones, so that when we get into difficult situations, a teaching from those scriptures will pop up and help us out. And I think that's a good example of that. The second one, a good quality of a friendship for those who practice the Buddha Dharma, is virtuous behavior. And the thing that cropped up for me was kind speech. I find that is a skill that we have here at the Abbey that we really do our best to practice, is kind speech. I find it's a very rare instance where we hear people yelling around here. You know, we just don't. And if it's yelling, there's probably a good reason that we need to find out what's going on. There's an emergency or something. So we have kind speech. We really have to work on it. It's cultivated. We do this. And the reason we do this is because we have that feedback from each other that kind speech is a good thing to do. You know, and kind speech, you can think, well, sure, that's pretty easy, but there's lots of different layers to our lives and who we are. And you can say, well, I was kind to somebody when actually you were in a bad mood and you really have this kind of edge of unkindliness. And with that, you can feel from the monks and each other and all of you that maybe that wasn't the best thing to do or it could use a little fine-tuning. And that's how we learn. You know, that, and that's where the friendship and the relation, the people contact can help us out. It also can help us out when somebody else is in a grumpy mood and they exhibit unkind speech. We can also say, you know, that's not something that I want to do. You know, so we can really learn from each other in all different kinds of ways. And it's a process, it's a development, And I doubt if any of us are going to be perfect in this lifetime, but we can, certainly are together, and we do have moments that are good, good friendship moments. The next story is about generosity. I think, Reverend Ando, you're going to appreciate this story. It's a story of Aoyama Roshi, who is a Japanese female monk or nun. She's written one book that I know of called Zen Seeds that I think a lot of you have read. And in the spring of 2011, there was a very large earthquake, 9.0 magnitude, if you remember. Was a tsunami that, or there was an earthquake that was just offshore of Japan, and created a tsunami. I read was like 130 feet high, a wave that came inland to Japan, and killed like 16,000 people. This, you know, was really heavy duty, and part of the country was completely devastated. So that was in the spring of 2011. And then a little bit after that, Reverend Ando and I went to a conference of women in Buddhism in Bangkok, Thailand. And guess who was there? Aoyama Roshi. She was about 80 years old. She needed assistance walking. And we all knew that her country had gone through just a tremendous disaster. And she felt like it was really important to come to this conference, and she did. She's a very short woman, very strong. You can tell that she has been through a lot in her life. And she came to the conference, and forgotten how long the conference was, like a week or 10 days. But she came to the conference just like the rest of us. There was 400, mostly women, that were there. And part of the conference is that we had workshops. Reverend Ando and I even put on some workshops about our singing, our Western singing of the chanting, which was pretty neat for some people that were interested in the music. But Aoyama Roshi also put on a workshop that we both of us went to, and she gave an excellent Dharma talk about the history of female monastics in Japan. And she's a scholar, a poet, very intelligent woman. After the workshop, it was a small group, maybe 10 of us. When you're there, you always get your photo taken. It's just part of life. And not just once, like we get to do. We have it easy here, but it's over and over and over and over again. So you have to have this kind of smile on your face, like, oh, this is just great, which you just end up doing. But we had to line up with get our photos taken. And Aoyama Roshi, this was for that particular workshop, was in the middle. And I think there was one point where Reverend Ando was standing next to her. And then, I don't know why, but then it was my turn to stand next to her. So we were going through the photo business and smiling. And in the process, I was standing right next to Aoyama Roshi, and she grabbed my hand, and I went, and it was like this grandma, grabbing my hand with this, I don't know, just kind of this wonderfulness. This wise woman that I just heard this amazing lecture from about the Dharma talk, and she just held onto my hand. Like, it wasn't like she was going to not let go, but it was just like connection, hello, we're together, this is great. And she smiles. She has this great smile on her face, wonderful woman. And we just stood there, and of course I was smiling too. With the photos, but we just stood there for a minute. It wasn't just like a little tap on the hand, but she just like, it was something, it wasn't like a message or anything like that, but we just stood there and had our photos taken, and we were holding hands. And it was pretty neat. Because of her warmth and her generosity, just came through, and I doubt if she planned this thing out. You know, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was just more a spontaneous thing. She just was that kind of person where she, it was just reaching out friendship, you know, the connection, that world that we belong to, the Buddha Dharma that we all belong to. Those kinds of things can help us out, you know. I've never forgotten her, and I hope she's doing all right. She must be 91 by now or so. I wish her well. Okay, and the last story is about wise discernment and friendship. And this is, I'm learning personally that if something comes up, it's probably not a bad idea, instead of reacting right away, to give it some time, to wait a little bit. And give it a little pause, you know, give it a breath, you know, maybe just kind of take in the space and just relax a tad. And I find that this helps me get a different view, and actually get a view that is more in keeping with what I want to do, which is do my Buddhist practice. And I'm reminded of a story that Ajahn Chah, who is a famous Thai monk, has taught about the mango tree. I've used this over and over again, but I love the image. A mango tree, you can't pick the fruit when it's not ripe. And the fruit is ripe when it falls on the floor, on the ground. And the way that I like to look at it is, you can't really do much about situations until the fruit falls on the ground, right? We would like to worry about the what ifs. What if it doesn't? What if it, you know, I don't know, all this stuff. What if the bugs eat it? All that kind of stuff. But until the fruit falls on the ground, you really can't pick it up and work with something, because then you have something to work with. Does that make sense? Because it does for me. It's a real good, you know, one of those things that helps me out, and not to get kind of overly worried or anxious about anything. I consider that wise discernment, to back off a bit and not be so ready to jump in and do whatever. Whatever kind of I want to reactively do. So these are examples of good friendship based on the Buddha Dharma. And they demonstrate how they also offer us stimulus to spiritual development, how we can grow and learn from each other as it should be. In fact, the Buddha goes so far to say that good friendship is the entire spiritual life. In other words, we can't do our Buddhist practice without each other. And in conclusion, I want to give you one more story, and that is the best friend is someone who gives or offers you the gift of the Dharma. The kind of gift that relieves our incessant yearnings for some deep fulfillment in our lives. And I'd like to say that River Master Jiu has given me this gift of the Dharma. One that is still alive within me right now, right today. And I deeply bow, and I'm eternally grateful to her. That is also what we can do for each other. Thank you very much.